Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. I am glad you all are here this morning. Can y'all hear me? All right. Good morning, everybody. Y'all please stand as we open up this morning with a nice little worship song. Ready? This song out, I was thinking of the time I went to Jacksonville for a pastor's conference, and I was thinking about across their altar, they had all the names of God and Jehovah Jireh, and I looked down here this morning, and here is Gidget with a shirt that has the same thing on it. So if y'all get a chance, check out Gidget's shirt. That's really cool. I like that. Well, y'all bow your heads as we open up the word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that you are Jehovah Jireh and that you do care for me. Lord, you supply all of my needs and I can only praise you and thank you, God. And you supplied the thing I needed the most, which is salvation through the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you and I praise you for that, that you call me a son as well, God. And Lord, I pray for our worship this morning, God. I pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, that when we sing, God, we bring glory and honor to you because we want to express our love for you, God. And Lord, I ask that you will also anoint Pastor Richie as he brings your word this morning, God. Speak powerfully through him. And I thank you for the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning. Last week, you gave $421 for the Olacock State Mission Offering. If you would like to give today, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. You may also give any time through the donation link on our church website and the link posted on Sundays on Open Doors Facebook page. The week of prayer for the Olacock State Mission Offering begins today, and the insert in your bulletin features various prayer needs within the state of West Virginia. Thank you for praying and for giving to support Southern Baptist churches in this state. Please pray that Olacock's funds will be used wisely and pray that the Lord would show more people his salvation in and through West Virginia. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Pam. We all please stand and we continue to worship this morning.
blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where the streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world is all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will sing, blessed be the name.
You are worthy.
And honor. He even told his disciples before he went to the cross, there is one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, oh, I believe you are my fortress. You are my portion, you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the light. Oh, I believe you are. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take. Well, I believe you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. Well, I believe you are. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. You are. It's a new horizon. And I'm set on you, and you meet me here today with mercies that are new, and all my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stand long while I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. Mercies that are new, all my fears and doubts, they can all come true, because they can't stand long, but I believe you are the way, the truth, the light.
Gracious Father, thank you for this day, Lord, where we can bring all of what is going on in our world, our fears, our doubts, our concerns. We can bring it all here and know in confidence that they are not going to stay long when we are with you, because you are the way. Lord, you are the truth. And Lord, I know that you are guiding us and teaching us. Lord, I pray that today as we study your word, that you rain down your spirit on this place today. Lord, that as I bring your message today, that Lord, that you forgive me of what I have done, that you forgive me of my sins, my inequities, my failures. Lord, that you wash me clean as you do, that I can come before your throne once again to share your word, your love, and your mercy. Father, as we do this, I pray, Lord, that if I am not the man called to be here, that you silence my lips and rise up the man who was. And Lord, I also pray as we take our tithes and offerings today, Lord, that you bless the tithes of this church. Lord, that as we give what we can, Lord, we do that out of a heart of love for you and your ministries and your projects that you have planned for us. I pray, Lord, in all of this, that you guide us, teach us, lead us, and it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Good morning, Open Door. How's everybody doing today? Awesome. As you can tell, Pastor Larry's not here today, so you're stuck with me, and for those of you who are here Sunday school, you're stuck with me again. So I apologize, but I'm here to hang out with you guys. So Pastor Larry is off in Myrtle Beach currently. He's probably watching, so everybody look behind you, wave at the camera, say hi. Excellent. Hi, Larry. Hi, Donna. We love you guys. If you didn't catch the one call, make sure you're praying for them while they're on vacation. Also pray for Kenny and Doreen. Doreen is very sick, and as mentioned on the one call yesterday, Beth is actually sick down there as well. So keep them in your prayers. I know they can use it, and we all know that Larry and Donna deserve a nice, relaxing vacation, right? But as we study today, as I've been praying about what to preach on and going through the usual week life, right? I got to be honest. I got to tell you, I've been struggling this week. I've been struggling with fear. And its nasty little cousin, anxiety. As I've been going through this week, I've been stressing a little bit. If you've seen Inside Out 2, that's what they look like for anybody who doesn't know that. But listen, I know people are like, Richie, what are you afraid of? Change. I'm afraid of change, okay? And I'm not going to get all into the details behind that, but fear and anxiety are something that I'm convinced most of us deal with in some way, shape, or form, right? Psychology Today references that fear is usually something that you're able to observe, right? So fear of the dark because you can't see what's inside the dark, and then anxiety being a fear of something that is unknown or something that you can't control in your future. Again, I know I'm not the only person in here, and for all the kids and youth that are in the room who saw Inside Out 2, do you all know what these people are? Kids, youth, children, anybody? All right, a couple kids, good. Thank you. Thanks for having my back. Somebody else has me here. So the thing is, fear and psychology are such a big thing in our day and age that Psychology Today references and Forbes both account for about 2023, that roughly about 30% of the census taken are people that are struggling with anxiety in today's day and age. Which is why, for those of you who haven't already seen it, there's a movie called Inside Out 2 that had these two characters on it, where they actually gave a rough visual picture of what anxiety looks like for a normal person. All right? Well, the thing is, it's not just children and youths that deal with anxiety and fear. I think that it's true that us as adults, we deal with it as well. So I've wrestled with this week. I've been going through this, and I've got some stuff going on in my world that I've been battling. And I was reminded as I was studying the Word that that is a part of life. Sometimes there are fears that we have. Sometimes there are anxieties that we have. Sometimes we're worried about stuff that really doesn't matter in the big picture, right? Sometimes we get caught up in things that we think people say or we think people will do rather than just letting things happen. So as I've been preparing for this sermon, I knew a while back where I was going to be preaching out of. I knew what I wanted to talk about, and I realized that it was a sharing moment that we could talk about how we act in our day and age and how these things, fear and anxiety, how we affect others when we act like this and how we should act. So today, I actually want to share with you what sincere faith is going to look like, what characteristics of sincere faith are, and I want to share with you why a sincere faith will help not allow us to fall victim to fear and anxiety at all times. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you have your phones or your Bibles, or if you don't have anything, you can turn and look behind me here. We're going to go to 2 Timothy. You can read along with me on your screen, your phone, whatever it is. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're picking up right where it starts. Where it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And I got to stop for just a second here because I can't help but have the teacher in me ask you a question while I'm preaching as well. So, quick pop quiz. Who wrote this letter? Paul, thank you. Okay, somebody's still awake. Good. So, let's talk about Paul's greeting real fast here. When we look at this greeting that Paul has, he says, of course, who he is, right? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will. He's not an apostle because he chose to be. He is an apostle because that's what God's will for his life was. For the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, he writes this letter to Timothy, his dearly loved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Why don't we write to people like this anymore? I mean, can you imagine you get a message from somebody, Travis, my dearly beloved brother, peace and mercy from God to you. Call me at your earliest convenience. Yeah, that's fair. Right? So why do I point this out? Because right off the bat, we see the love that Paul has for Timothy. My dearly loved son, it says. Look, Paul is starting off the letter trying to bring encouragement to somebody he cares about. He asks for these things. He asks for grace, mercy, and peace onto Timothy. Grace we don't deserve. The word actually comes from a Latin word that means generosity. Mercy comes from a medieval Latin term that means price paid. So Paul is quite literally saying, let God's generosity pay the price for you. And I got to tell you, it's a great feeling when you have somebody wishing good things for you. Going to God and requesting good things for you. People in the room, I'm sure there are plenty of us out here who might have some credit cards, right? If somebody were to take care of that entire credit card debt you have, that would probably feel very nice, right? Or for those of you who don't have credit cards, maybe it's just somebody came in and paid one of your month's mortgage or a month of your car payment. Insert whatever payment you have. Or how about, may not seem like a major thing, but how about when somebody buys a meal for you? It's nice. You get this good feeling when somebody else is trying to share love to you. Well, what Paul is asking is that Timothy gets to see God's love and that he showers it over him. But that's not the entirety of the text. We continue to read just a little bit further what it says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. When I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. I am now convinced, and now I am convinced, it is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. And this is where we're going to pause again for a minute here. Note the love Paul has for his friend, right? I got to keep bringing this up because I need you guys to understand how much Paul loves Timothy. Right? This isn't just the guy he sees once a month and goes, hey, how you doing? Right? This isn't the guy that he doesn't remember his name. He just knows that face. I've seen you somewhere, right? No, this is somebody he loves. He's constantly praying for him. He's losing sleep over his brother and his friend. Not only that, but we actually see that he knows his family, right? And we've only know two references throughout Scripture where Timothy's family is recorded. This passage and then a reference in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Right, but he notes specifically here that Timothy has a sincere faith. And that's what I want to make the focus of today's sermon. Right, we want to talk about what a sincere faith is. A sincere faith is surrounded by more faith. All right, now I know that kind of sounds redundant. Right, as I tend to be at times, I'll point out something that seems obvious to most. But in Timothy's life, we actually see he had a family of faith, right? He grew up learning from his mother and his grandmother. It's important to reference and to understand that in a sincere faith, right, people are surrounded by more faith, by faith of family and by of friends. Why would that ever be so important? Well, I think over to Proverbs 27:17, where it says, iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. This isn't just being raised up in the church. I didn't grow up in the church. And I know for those of you who have been at Open Door for a long time now, that may sound kind of silly, but I didn't grow up as a child in the church. My family used church, quite honestly, as a free babysitting option. Growing up as a kid, I didn't really start going to church until my teen years. I didn't come from a family that was ingrained in Scripture. But on the other side of that, when I gave my life to the Lord, much like Timothy, I had leaders and mentors that allowed me to see what ministry was. I had people that would take me on or who would allow me to serve beside them in any ministry that I could do. Sometimes I think I may have forced some of them. I don't think they always wanted me necessarily right away. When you just stand there and you talk with somebody as they're passing out water, they kind of just don't have a choice. You just stand there, right? But the truth of the matter is, anytime anybody would let me help, I'd be there. I had these leaders. I had a youth leader growing up. His name was Rob. He was a giant. That's all I ever really remember of his stature, but still is a giant. Yeah, that's true. Rob would invite me to go to lunch. I'm a teen. He'd take me under his wing. He'd teach me different things. He taught me how to shoot a gun. He taught me how to, he taught me some of how to drive his truck, which then he learned I couldn't drive his truck. So then I drove other vehicles. I spent a lot of time with Rob, and I got to spend a lot of time doing ministry together. We studied the Word together. We talked together. We talked what we thought about the Word together. And this all may not sound like it's very difficult to anybody in this room, but the truth is, I was being surrounded by people that love the Lord. I began to be surrounded by people of the faith. And a sincere faith is something where you will look around and you'll see that the people around you have an impact on your life. Travis mentioned a line several weeks ago in our Sunday school class, talking about how you show me your friends and I can show you the future. Quote it correctly? Pretty close? All right, thank you. But the idea behind it is the people around you impact and influence who you are and who you become. And while he referenced it into his school, the truth is that affects us here in church as well. Look at the people you spend your time with. Look at the people that you are having lunch with, or the people you go hang out with on a Friday night. Where are your priorities? That's something it's important for us to look at. Now, does this mean that we don't want to hang out with sinners? Of course not. No, that's not the answer. Believers are all sinners too, right? We all fall short of His glory. We all fall short. We all have failed. However, when your priorities change, your friends are likely to change as well. But let's keep breaking down what Paul said here, right? As we look at verse 6, it says, therefore rekindle, or your Bible, if you're not using the CSV, it may say something like stir up. And the idea behind this verse is that means that we don't let the fire go dim. Jacob, I'm so glad you're here today. I was afraid you wouldn't be here. I apologize, but I gotta call you out for a brief second. If we go out back and we make a fire and we just walk away from it, what's going to happen? Eventually, it's going to go out, right? All right, so Mike, I'm going to use you then. So if you and me go out back, we're going to probably bring gasoline and a bunch of other stuff and make a really big fire, right? But if we don't do anything to the fire, if we leave it alone, if we don't continue to kindle the fire, what happens to the fire? Dies. So I point this out, and I ask these two, and thank you guys, right? Because I'm not good at making fires, and neither is Travis. So I needed some good Boy Scouts from the day to show some points here. We needed some people who are great at making fires to give me this true example here. But the thing is, if you start a fire and you don't watch it, if you don't push it along, if you don't keep it going by fanning the flames, the fire goes out. So sincere faith, what I want to point out here, is active. What's that mean for a church member or for a believer? It means that if you're not active, if you're not getting involved, if you're not fellowshipping, if you're not spending time with other believers, if you're not finding a place to serve, if you're not active, are you going to continue to have that fire grow within you? Look, I know everybody's different, okay? I 100%, I get it. Listen, there's a lot of people who say they don't want anything to do with standing up on stage and talking to everybody or teaching downstairs in a Sunday school class or in one of the classrooms. I understand it. That is not everybody's game. There are places to serve all over the place, though. Okay? The community breakfast is an incredible place to start. Just giving a reference here. Not a plug for the community breakfast. All right? If it was VBS time, I'd plug VBS. But for right now, you know, look, there's so many areas you can serve in, and the community breakfast is a great place to start because you don't have to be an amazing teacher, leader, speaker to go and serve at the community breakfast. In fact, you could be a terrible cook and they'll let you serve too. I'm not allowed to make omelets anymore, but the rest of you might be great at that, or you might be great at whatever, right? You can go and help clean. You can go and help just move tables. As long as Kevin's moving the vacuum quickly enough, you can move the chairs back and forth with us. There are so many areas that we can serve and so many different little things. And you know what? The community breakfast is an incredible time that we get to feed hungry people, that we get to serve a people in need, the poor, and it's an opportunity for us to fellowship as well. Now, I know you're thinking, well, there's work to be done, and you're right, there is work to be done, but in between the work, we get to laugh and talk, and we get to dream and talk about our what we want to buy or what we're buying on Facebook Marketplace at that moment or whatever it might be, right? We get to kind of chat and get to fellowship and get to see where each other are at in our lives, and that's important for us to do as believers. But see, our church has all kinds of areas that you can find to serve, whether it's in person, in public view, or whether it's behind the scenes, whether it's cleaning the bathrooms, or whether it's cleaning the parking lot, or mowing the yard. Look, there's little things that you don't even know get done, like picking up all of the communion cups on a Sunday morning. There's opportunities for everyone of every size, of every skill level to serve. We have to be active as believers, and service is an aspect of that. Fellowship is an aspect of that. Getting into the Word is an aspect of that. These characteristics of being active are part of our walk as believers. But verse 7 here, continuing on, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and of sound judgment." A sincere faith is empowered by God. Look, the spirit is not of fear, but rather a spirit of power, love, and of judgment. This is, honestly, it's incredible, right? And it's humbling. It's kind of crazy too, though, right? Because God has empowered us. He doesn't want us to be afraid, and he doesn't want us to fear. He doesn't want fear to rule our lives. Sound judgment, though, means that he also doesn't want us to do stupid things either. Just to be clear, you could fly if that's what God wanted you to do, but you don't have the ability to fly, and so that sound judgment is that you're not going to go jump off the church thinking you have the ability to fly. Being empowered by God means that God gives us the spirit of love. We are called to show love to one another, to show love to others, and to serve both. God has empowered us to do these things and so much more, and God loves us and wants us to share that great love. So believers, I ask a silly question, but are you excited about the love of God? Or are you bored and asleep? And I know that sounds kind of silly when somebody's just standing here talking at you, right? We sometimes, as a church, we make it as this thing. We almost get bored when we come into service because I think we forget how powerful God is. So let me just give you that brief reminder here. God loves you despite what you've done. Listen, I don't know what you've done. I don't know what your background has. And for those of you that I do know that we have a good bond, you did some terrible things. Don't worry, I did too, okay? But God still loves you anyway, despite all of what you did. So what did God do? God paid the price for it. He covered your debts. You don't owe him anything anymore. You don't owe that debt. Clean and free, because he loved you. So because of that love, what are you going to do about it? I would imagine that we would be empowered to share that love with others. Because that love that he gave us isn't just for you and me. We have to share it with Hunter too. And everybody else involved. Right? We share this love with everybody around us. Because of that love, because we know that God loves us and we know he empowers us, we have to look at how we are encountering our day-in, day-out basis. How do we encounter life events? Well, because we know that we have the love of God and that we are empowered by that love and that we should love others, maybe we should be careful about how we respond when somebody cuts us off. Or when we're having a bad day and we just want to yell at somebody. Or when that person says something that was just so dumb you couldn't help but respond. Look, I don't know what your day holds. But I know those are some of the ones I deal with. Maybe our way of dealing with that, our way of dealing with these struggles or these trying people, is that we have to find somebody, a brother or a sister, that we can talk with. Because that's what we're supposed to do for one another, right? We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to have each other's backs. We're supposed to support one another. Maybe we need to find that brother or sister that we can reach out and go, did you know that people are dumb? And we could just vent to sometimes, right? Or maybe it's just the, hey, Trav, I'm having a bad day, man. I just want to yell at somebody. No, I'm not going to yell at anybody else. In the cases of things like fear and anxiety, it means sometimes that we have to talk to other people about what we're afraid of. Look, I'll be honest. I'm afraid of change. I'm terrified of change. I like what I do. I like how I do it. And I'm very good at wanting to do it my way, the way I do it. Change is scary to me. But I'm also a firm believer that if I do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result, then I have gone to the level of insanity. And that's not where I want to be either. I'm already borderlining. I don't need any help pushing me over. Okay? Things like anxiety being a fear of the unknown or a fear of the future. There is a trust in God that we start to have a conversations with ourselves and with our family and our friends and those around us. It means sometimes we have to talk to the people who are invested in us or invested around us, because there's this weird thing, but that they care. Listen, if I walk up to some random person on the street and start telling them all of my thoughts and on my what I'm stressing about, they're probably not going to really care, right? But I know that if I call Tim up, I can call Tim and say, "Hey, Tim, man, I'm going through this, and I'm struggling with this, and I don't really know what to do." And Tim's going to look at or talk to me and say, "I don't know what to do either, but I'll pray with you." Or he might offer some insight that I hadn't thought about, because I know Tim cares. This sincere faith that we're talking about today, hopefully this sounds like something that you already have, or maybe something you're working with, or maybe something you're working on. But we're not quite done yet, so let's get back into the Word. Picking up with verse 8, it says, "So don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald, apostle, and teacher, and that is why I suffer these things. But I am not ashamed, because I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to me until that day." So Paul states here in verse 8 that he's a prisoner. So if you're not a Bible scholar, let me give you a quick little Bible history lesson here. At this point, Paul's writing in prison, and it's approximately 64 to 65 AD. And this is while he's in Rome. It's near the end of his life, and likely one of the last letters that Paul wrote. Paul knew it was getting close. He was getting closer and closer to the end. But Paul encouraged to not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of him. Verse 9 even says that Jesus saved us and has called us, which kind of leads me to this next point, which is a sincere faith is unbending. Jesus saved us. You didn't save yourself, right? God provided our salvation. You don't have to worry about whether he's going to take it away. There's a difference in you saving yourself or you creating that power versus Jesus saving you. A sincere faith is unbending. God's called you. He's appointed you. He put you on the path and the direction you're on. This means sometimes things don't go our way. I have to remind myself a lot that it's God's time, not my time. God's plan, not my plan. Why do I have to keep reminding myself that? Because sometimes I would like to have it my way. I would prefer the Burger King way sometimes. I want it my way when I want it. I'm human. It's natural, right? But God's way is better, and His timing is better, and His timing is more important than what I want, because I would rather what He has planned for me than what I have planned. But a sincere faith being unbending means that we're not shaken up by a bad day. A sincere faith is not going to give up when it's all lost, when all is lost. A sincere faith is not going to surrender when it is offended. Listen, I will disappoint you. I will upset you. I will offend you probably at some point in the life of working with you or getting to know me. Or if you hang out with me on a regular basis, it'll probably be quicker than that. But the truth is, a sincere faith is not going to give up just because they are offended. Sadly, if you spend enough time with any person, any believer or non-believer, you're going to find that that is going to be the same situation, because nobody's perfect. Nobody is perfect. Your spouses are amazing, I'm sure, but they're not perfect. You, looking in a mirror, are amazing, I'm sure. You're not perfect. Contrary to what we all think, for those of you who feel this way, that you know you're always right, I understand, you're not always right. Contrary to what you may think, you might have made a mistake, it could be your fault, whether you believe it or not. The truth is, Larry says it best. If you're looking for the perfect church, don't come here. We are not the perfect church because we have imperfect people in it. Far from it, actually. We are the worst possible potential with that because I'm here. Thankfully, Larry doesn't accuse me. He accuses himself, but I'll accuse myself. I am imperfect and I'm here. We are imperfect, and that is why we have to learn, why we have to go through things. We have to continue to grow. Our sincere faith doesn't get shaken by a rough time of life. Our faith needs to be focused on our relationship with God, and that shouldn't be bending back and forth. A sincere faith is not ashamed. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," this is again Paul writing, "because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, also to the Greek." Are you embarrassed of your faith? Are you embarrassed of your church? Are you embarrassed of your Lord? A sincere faith should not be ashamed. Jesus conquered death. Satan no longer has control. Death no longer has control over us. We have eternal life through Christ. A sincere faith is not ashamed. It is excited. It is joyful. It is ready to share. Let's finish this chapter. Verse 13 says this: "Hold on to the pattern of sound teaching that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that those in the province of Asia have deserted me, including Pygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus," who I prefer to call Onesiphorus, "because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains, but on the contrary, when he was in Rome, he diligently searched for me and found me. May the Lord grant that he obtain mercy from him on that day." You know very well how much he ministered in Ephesus. My my last point for you is this. Since your faith is growing, when you look at this text, you see a couple different things, and I can point them out to you, but that is a pattern of sound teaching. That's not something that happens overnight. That's days, weeks, months, years of time, right? Sound teaching takes time to get there. We have to guard the deposit of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, right? We have to watch and protect the faith and love that we have in Christ and make sure that we're glorifying Him with everything we do. There are people that will come along the way. Some people in your life, they're going to come and they're going to go. We're going to have friends who you'll know today who you may not be friends with in 10 years. But a sincere faith is a faith that is growing. A sincere faith is something that is diligently searching. It's searching for the answers for the people and for the opportunities to share and love others. Now, I've shared with you 6 points that I think we can prove about sincere faith, right? And why it's so important. And listen, I know there's probably a couple of you, there's probably one person at least in the congregation who's thinking, Richie, will you stop saying sincere faith? If you say it one more time, I'm sure there's somebody. But the thing is, this is so important for us to understand. Our faith needs to be sincere. These characteristics, being surrounded by more faith, active, empowered by God, unbending, not ashamed, and growing, these characteristics are the characteristics that should be in our lives as we are growing in our faith. So that when we run into situations in life where we're struggling with anxiety, when we're struggling with what's next, when we're worried about where we're going to get the next paycheck, or where we're going to get the next meal, or where we're going to, you fill in your blank. When we get into that point of life when we're worried and we're stressed out and we're overrun, our sincere faith helps guide us to what we should do next. It should point us to where we should go. Our walk as believers, some of you have been around for a while. You're a seasoned believer. You've been at church more than you haven't been at church. You've been at church more days than some people have been alive, maybe. Maybe one of these characteristics you're looking at and going, I don't know, Rich. Or maybe you're looking at it and going, wow, I don't know that I really feel that way. Listen, the truth is, we need to evaluate that. In our walk as believers, we have to take time to evaluate where we stand. I hate to keep beating a dead horse, but guys, we're not perfect. Okay? We all have things to work through. I love Pastor Larry. He is awesome. Pastor Larry, you got stuff to work through. Sorry, boss. I have some great friends in this church who are incredible leaders, teachers, and examples in my life. Some of them, if I pointed out, they'd smack me and yell at me later. Okay? But some of them, if you got to just spend a little bit of time with them, you could see great things in their lives and the great things in ministry that they've done. And the truth is, even those people aren't perfect. We have to grow. So maybe one of these characteristics is something you're struggling with. I would encourage you, believers in the room, that this is about to be your opportunity to evaluate that. We're going to do what we call an altar call. For those who don't know what that is we give a chance for anybody who's struggling with something, who wants to talk to somebody about something. That's that chance that you get to come up and either pray about it on your own, or if you want me to pray with you or somebody else to pray with you, we got people, right? Somebody will come up and pray with you. Or maybe you go home and you just think about this and you go, man, Rich was right. I need to work on that. And listen, if that's what happens, great. If you need help, the church is here for you. There are classes that are here for you. We're here to support you and have your back. Listen, we have Sunday school classrooms that you can be involved in. We have the women's Bible study and the adult Bible study and the dudes and donuts. And we have pastors here who care about you and who want to be invested in your lives. But the pastors aren't the only ones. There are members of the church who are interested and invested in other people that will spend time with you to help you grow and get to know more about the Lord. But maybe you're not a believer at all. Maybe you've been visiting and you're like, wow, this church has been pretty nice. I like this place. That pastor's usually really short. Then you got me today. I don't know. Right? Maybe you're like, wow, the Sunday school classes are a great time. Maybe you're not a believer. Maybe you've been coming around and you've just been listening and hearing us out. And I would encourage you, if you have questions, to reach out. Come find me. Come find another leader. Come find Steve. He'll wave his hand. He'll tell you about Jesus all day long. Right, brother? Right? Steve will wave his. He'll help you out. Listen, if you have questions and you just don't know what to do, there are people that are here for you. And the good news is the gospel, Jesus' love, that's free. There's no paid membership. This isn't Amazon Prime, right? This is a free membership. God's love is free for everyone. So as the praise band comes forward, I want to just give you that opportunity to evaluate your heart. And wherever you're at, whatever you're working through, I pray that you take time to give that to the Lord today. And when you see other people coming up here, know that they're praying for you. They're praying for a basket of people who we have wrote down as our ones that we've been praying for months. People who we want God to be able to reach and that we have been praying for as much as we can. So no matter what you took from this, I pray you take time to give it to the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Richie. We all please stand.
Without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise.
Sincere in everything you say and everything you do. Go out. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you all.
Praise God.